Here on our campus, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, Susan Eckelman Burkle is an associate professor of history and current director of UTC's Africana Studies program. This semester, she is teaching a course titled History of White Rage. Susan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about this course.
So I'm teaching a course on the history of white rage this semester. The idea for the course, it's a new course, even though I've taught courses on American racism in the past, this is a new course that really came to my mind during the summer of 2020 when we've witnessed the revival of Black Lives Matter movement. And we heard, and I'm sure Ray, you did too, the phrase racial reckoning. We heard a lot of, especially white Americans, coming to grips with the fact that racism was well and alive. And there was the sense sort of that because people are coming to terms with it, that there is progress in sight. Of course, people were eyeing at the election in the fall. And in my own research, what I've discovered is that when there is racial progress, there is also a backlash. And certainly we can see that happening. We can see that materialized in the election of Donald Trump. This response to a Black presidency, the ultimate Black advancement. So I wondered how long this racial reckoning might last. And that's kind of where the idea for the course sparked. I wanted my students to understand this sort of dual and dueling process of racial progress and racist response. The phrase white rage, I'm actually borrowing from a historian named Kel Anderson. She's a professor at Emory University, and she's written a book on the subject matter where she traces this process of racial progress and the response to Black advancement in any form. And she roots it following the Civil War. Now, the class itself takes a step back and actually traces how racist ideas came into existence. So my students learn that racism is not the product of ignorance or hatred, but in fact, it is economic interest, it is social investment that motivated the justification for enslavement. And in that process, European travelers created a narrative that they then fed their superiors in Europe. So creating ideas about others, non-white others in particular. And so my students learn the birthplace and are introduced to the architects of racist ideas. And they're learning how these ideas evolved over time and that there were different theories that these architects, and I should say these are intellectuals, these are theologians, these are lawyers, these are top elites, educated individuals who developed these various theories.
And we're going back generations, we're going back centuries at this point.
We are. And it's important because the American founding fathers, my students learned a little bit more about Cotton Mather. So they learned how the colonial legislators and theologians who first arrived in the United States, in fact, drew these theories and developed theories of their own. Cotton Mather was, as Ibram Kendi calls him, one of the first assimilationists who used conversion theory to show, on the one hand, solidify the docility and the inferiority of enslaved people, but at the same time, used Christianity to introduce uplift and elevate Christianity in that process. So the students learn different theories. They learn who these architects are and have been throughout, and see how that evolves over time in the course of history. And I think a number of my students, the class was pretty full, but it filled up after January 6th. And I think many of the students probably thought that this course would exclusively address that kind of history. And it's true that the course does consider racial violence and how that manifests in its various forms, medical racism. We're looking at residential segregation. We're looking at educational inequality. We look at political suppression, voter suppression in particular. We look at how the law functions in this context. So the students learn how violence can take on different forms, and I've explained that to them. But we also, of course, I hope that the students understand better and are better able to contextualize what has happened in recent times, and not just on January 6th, but in the last 4 years, the kind of rhetoric that we've seen in public discourses and, of course, also political action, and how that, where does that come from? What is it a response to? So these are some of the themes that the students are engaging with. And I've been struck. The students have been extraordinary so far. They've been really curious. They're really eager. They're thirsty to understand some of these longer historical trajectories. They are interested in understanding how politics works and who are the people who create these ideas, who are the ones who sustain those ideologies within the political realm, within the legislative realm, but also to understand that they're producers and then they're consumers of racism. And this is where I introduce, that happens kind of a little bit later in the semester, when I also introduce them to the idea of white fragility. So it's really a class that stands on three different thematic pillars. There is the origins of racist ideology, then there is white rage as a response and its various manifestations, and there's also white fragility, the defensiveness or the very minimalistic understanding of what racism can look like. And I think most students might think that it is this sort of open violence. It's the people wearing white hoods and organized in secrecy. And so what they learn, in fact, that racism is something that everybody partakes, especially as a white person, and that by definition, they have work to do and to unlearn. In fact, now they know how long those ideas go back, that they understand the challenges of unlearning these ideas.
How difficult has it been to create this course, to adapt this course, as events have kept happening, which hit on these themes over and over again?
I appreciate that you asked this question, quite frankly, and I think I can echo some of my colleagues. My department has actually adopted a theme of racial injustice and inequality and the struggle for racial equality. And this course is one element in the broader curriculum. And I know that I was texting and speaking with colleagues as we were developing these new courses on these subject matters, and all of us were editing and revising, reading, shifting topics, thinking about how can we further our students' understanding of these historical issues. I don't think it's ever taken me this long to build a course. I mean, obviously, I've been sitting on this topic for a while, knowing that usually we decide on a curriculum early fall. So I've known for a while that I'd be teaching this class, and it does percolate for quite some time. But it took me every day for a couple of weeks. And certainly after January 6th, I've had to make some decisions and added some reading as primers. But more than anything, it allowed me to really refine the way I wanted to present this course to the students. It really, in fact, gave me confidence that what I was doing was necessary. It was really critical. The day before, Raphael Warnock was elected as the first, Georgia's first senator. And the following day,
first African-American.
African-American, yes, African-American senator. And the following day, we see the siege on the Capitol unraveling in front of American eyes. And I think this idea of Black advancement and white rage couldn't have been more explicit in my view in that moment. And so in many ways, it really highlighted just how critical this course was to me in this moment, and I think to the students as well. So far, the students have been extraordinarily curious, very articulate, very sensitive. I did assign a lot more reading than I would normally assign, and I told them to bear with me, and I did tell them that I made these decisions rather unapologetically. And so far, they've done really, really well. We'll see how they feel about this, my decisions in week 12. But yeah, I'm really kind of taking them on a journey to understand some of these issues. But if I had to sort of really distill, like if I had to really digest in a short way of what I want them to get away, is that there's a collective responsibility to engage with these issues, and that white rage is not something that's always the visible violence. It works its way through bureaucracies. Legislations are involved in that process. And I want them to understand that politically, it's really critical to understand how the law is made and that there's a color to law.
And if people want to keep up on the latest from the history department at UTC, they can go to utc.edu/history or follow on Twitter @UTC History.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan.